Hello and welcome to another session in our podcast series for John and Floyd & Associates. My name is Maggie Thompson. I am the Client Success Manager. And today we're going to be talking about operational risk for collecting on overdrawn or charged off accounts during this COVID-19 pandemic. Today I have with me Ms. Cheryl Lawson, our Executive Vice President of Compliance, and Obria Poindexter, a partner at Morrison & Forster and Compliance Counsel for JMFA Overdraft Privilege Program. We do understand that banks are legally allowed to withhold funds that go into accounts that have negative balances or accounts previously charged off due to a negative balance, and no specific provision in the CARES Act, the $2 trillion relief package that authorized the stimulus payments, prevents banks from taking customer stimulus money to cover debts. So what I want to go ahead and do is introduce Cheryl and Obria. How are you, ladies? How's everything going?
Great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for being with us today. We greatly appreciate it, and we're excited to talk about this topic today. So let's get started. Should financial institutions use the stimulus funds to cover overdrawn or charged off accounts? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me just level set here. On March 27th of this year, the president signed into law the CARES Act. Many of you have heard of that. It's the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. And this was kind of a third phase of the economic relief in response to the COVID crisis. Among other things, the law provides for a one-time direct payment to individuals. And the purpose was to help individuals at this time to really address the economic harm and financial harm that customers were, individuals were facing. And we understand that the first wave of these stimulus funds were kind of released recently. And just to reiterate a point that was made earlier, there is nothing in the CARES Act that prohibits a bank from using the stimulus funds that are deposited either through an ACH or by paper check to cover overdrawn account balances or to be directed in some way to pay outstanding fees on the account. So unlike a provision in the CARES Act that prohibits the use of stimulus funds to pay federal or state debt owed to governments, it does not go as far as to prohibit financial institutions to use the funds to offset negative balances or debt owed as a matter of law.
One of the challenges that creates is for some consumers, their accounts are already negative because perhaps they have had employment stop as a result of the stay-at-home orders or the strategies for reducing workplace infection that have caused families to be unable to generate their primary sources of income. And so for our client financial institutions, it's important that they look at this as one more opportunity to continue to communicate with their consumer account holders. When a stimulus check of $1,200 or more arrives in an account that is now in an overdrawn position, to simply withhold the portion of that stimulus to cover that negative balance is not necessarily a good strategy for an institution to take, given that the consumer has critical need of those funds for perhaps groceries or utilities or other critical costs. JMFA recognizes that our opportunity to deal with consumers on a kind of individual or case-by-case basis enables that conversation with that consumer to determine, is there any opportunity for them to have their needs met without having the requirement for that full stimulus payment? And I say that because when an examiner comes in 6 months or a year from now and the opportunity for the conversation around how did that financial institution service their consumers arises, the best possible answer is for the financial institution to be able to say, we worked closely with our consumers and we made sure that if they had needs, that we were there to support them. That is our first and primary agenda. And as Obria certainly knows, that's not to neglect the importance of the security and safety of the financial institution, but instead to support the consumers who we're all there to serve. So our focus has to be on how can we facilitate access to the stimulus funds without causing institutional harm, and recognizing that the primary agenda should be servicing those consumers who, in many cases, are not generating their standard monthly income due to COVID-19.
Sure. I think that you highlighted something that's quite important here, and that is, what will your examiners think of this practice? And I think, you know, there is certainly some reputational risk here. And the reputational risk is that banks could be viewed as using the stimulus funds to cover negative balances, and that this is an unfair practice, right? It could be viewed as a taking from a consumer of those funds that are intended to provide important relief to help customers in a time of need. We've heard consumer advocates really take up this issue with the government and have stated that protections are needed to address banks' overdraft charges that are impacting stimulus funds. We know that Treasury is getting complaints about the practice of allowing stimulus funds to cover negative balances. And members of Congress, including Senator Warren, has been criticizing banks for the practice. There are 25 state attorneys general that have called for banks to allow customers to fully use the stimulus funds. So while I did indicate early on that it's not a prohibited practice as a legal matter, you know, this is a good time, as Cheryl noted, to look at these individual customers' needs on a case-by-case basis and understand if there is, you know, some kind of adjustment or in your policy that would allow for the full use of the stimulus funds. And I think that's a way of getting in front of this narrative that we're hearing from consumer advocates and some members of Congress that some banks are harming customers by not allowing them to use the stimulus funds.
I do have a follow-up question about documentation. You know, what about documentation for the institutions for these exceptions that are being made? Should there be any consideration for special documentation? What are your thoughts on that?
I will say that it's always good practice to retain notes associated with conversations with consumers in a circumstance where, for example, an institution might consider that during their city's or their county's stay-at-home mandates, which again is variable across the country. Not all states or all counties have them. But during that window of time, if financial institutions want to relax their collection model so that they're not as aggressive or as consistent in communication with consumers around overdrawn accounts, it affords them the ability to simply record it, indicate that that's a system-wide policy for that window of time. I'm in a particular county where we have an end date. They've given us an end date. It can change, but for now we have an end date for our stay at home. And so certainly in that circumstance, a financial institution can incorporate the governor or the, in our case, state county judges and issue across their institution that kind of a single document that records it. Or In other circumstances, they could record notes on each consumer account. I guess the point we're always trying to emphasize is, you know, communicate a lot, make sure consumers appreciate the value of what you're giving them. If you give them a forgiveness, or if there's a temporary cessation of aggressive collections, then communicate that, let them know, so that they'll appreciate that, and so that they'll be able to recognize that the financial institution not only did not harm, but in reality assisted families that are in crisis. And I use an example, a real example. I had a conversation with a client, and they said they had made phone calls to their consumers because they wanted to make sure that they knew what was going on. Consumers who normally had deposits weren't seeing the same deposits. And one of the consumers that got called said, "Oh, my brother-in-law is going to send me, you know, X amount of dollars. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. Help another family." It was that kind of communication that allows our clients to really model the best kind of financial institution service in even now this difficult time.
Excellent. All right. So let's talk a little about some action items, and what do you believe are some of those current action items that our banks and credit unions should have on top of mind right now as these funds are coming into the accounts?
As you likely know, some of the country's largest banks said that they are making adjustments to ensure stimulus funds are received in full and can be used so that they're not offset by some of the negative balances. For example, there have been reports that Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Chase will temporarily stop collecting on the negative balances so that customers will have full access. I know that there are other regional and national banks. For example, I think there have been reports that USAA will provide temporary credits, in some cases retroactively on a case-by-case basis, and waiving some of the overdraft fees, as well as providing a credit for whatever amount that they to cover the negative balance. So those are some of the things that I know some banks are considering and credit unions. Other things that I know are top of mind is, you know, really looking again on a case-by-case basis for understanding what are the needs to address essential items that individuals may need at this time. And so, as Cheryl suggested, it may be having a customer service number. It may be where folks can call in and tell about some of the needs that they have. It may be outreach. There are banks that are considering having these kind of proactive programs that automatically will allow for the kind of full access to the funds. There are others that are looking at this on a more reactive basis so that folks can call in and express concern. And then, as I mentioned, there are some institutions that are providing this temporary credit.
For some JMFA clients, what we've seen is a communication emphasis to all account holders, not just those that are low balance or that are in overdrawn status, but instead continuing to have communication around, you know, COVID resources, as well as additional opportunities for consumers to, you know all of the services that the financial institution provides. And then, just as Obria said, having a way to reach directly into the households where consumers are overdrawn to, again, express resources, communicate, make sure that consumers feel comfortable talking to the financial institution. Most financial institutions don't have branches open anymore. So much is being done remotely. And so what we see is that that's a wonderful opportunity for especially our small and mid-sized financial institutions to have regular communication through podcasts, through webinars, through opportunities for them to interact with their consumers. And since so many people are at home, it affords them, again, that opportunity. Part of what we're saying is you know, continue to be, you know, to communicate outward and to be available to respond to consumers with their needs as they come in. I've seen a lot of the kind of altruistic activity of a lot of our clients because they're already aggressively doing things to support the medical community in their region or the first responders. And that's the kind of, again, example that we love to see among financial institution clients, that they're not just, you know, sitting in the office waiting on something to happen. They're actually reaching out and trying to assist. And again, from a, you know, how do you make sure the consumers are okay? You make sure by checking with them and by talking with them and by making options available to them that are more that help to manage the circumstances that they find themselves in.
Great. I mean, I think what's most important is what we're hearing is take care of your account holders. I think you guys could agree on that. Do what's right for your account holders. Absolutely. So, you know, something else that I was thinking about that I wanted to talk to you about today was what should financial institutions take into consideration when it comes to their account holder base and those who might be depending on those funds to come in? You know, what do you think?
We've kind of talked around a lot of that, and I think that one of the perhaps most important things is that we evaluate. I wish we had a crystal ball and could see when it will end. But I know that for many families, March was their first month to not have perhaps full income. We're now halfway through the month of April, and it is, at least in my county, not expected to be over before sometime in late May at the earliest. But of course, there's a lot going on across the country, and it's variable state by state. And so I think that the opportunity to realize that, one, this is a small stimulus. $1,200 is not a lot of money. And for a lot of families, their regular income would exceed that. And so the amounts of money they're coming in from the stimulus will barely cover many households' needs. I think that it's important that financial institutions remember that we're here to help our account holders and whatever that looks like. And so just as Aubrey mentioned, there may be some, you know, small credit services that get created at this time to assist families. Certainly there's some opportunity for forgiveness or reduction in collection activity, again, to assist families. I think that as long as from a regulatory perspective, from an examiner perspective, and from a kind of a you know, reputational risk perspective, the goal is always going to be the same. How do we help our households? And what can we do to make their lives not more difficult during a difficult time? And I think that that is essential to the conversation that we always want to have with our financial institution clients, because that is what they are having with themselves. And that is, how do we help the families that we serve?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Cheryl. All right. Well, I wanted to give you an opportunity just to express any last thoughts. Cheryl or Bria, any final thoughts on this?
I think in terms of final thoughts here, it's, you know, as Cheryl suggested, it's really looking at your customer base and balancing, you know, what the needs are of customers are at this time. And that is looking at the policies for modifying some of the collection of overdrawn accounts for a period of time, and balancing that with, you know, the bank's own safety and soundness in what they need for their, you know, your own viability. And I think that's important. And part of that is really understanding your customers' needs and having some outreach. I think that's really important during this time.
There's probably no way to ensure that, you know, the stimulus is going to be sufficient for every household, or that financial institutions can solve all problems. But I think that the marriage of making those dollars available and considering the needs of our consumer accounts allows the financial institution to really perform that partner role with consumers that we so definitely, desperately want to do. Again, there are technology elements to receiving those dollars and making sure that those dollars are afforded to consumers as much as possible. But at the same time, remembering that there's a small it's a small number, their needs are almost certainly going to be greater. What other resources can the financial institution enable consumers to realize to help them through this time? And if it means we, you know, sew masks or we, you know, serve food to people, I think all financial institution leaders and staffs are prepared and eager to support their communities as we go through this together.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for being with me today, Cheryl and Obria. I greatly appreciate your time and the discussion. This was excellent, and I look forward to our next conversation. For our clients listening today, if you have any additional questions or are looking for additional guidance, please reach out to your relationship manager or complete the form below.